Greetings from Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is April 22nd, 2018, and you're listening to our morning worship. Our speaker today is Brother Rick Bran, and his sermon is entitled, What Zacchaeus Learned. So thanks for listening, and we know you'll be blessed by the preaching of God's Word.
Good to be here this morning. I'm also glad that you're here. That kind of makes it better when somebody's here. Amen. I always enjoy coming to this church, and this is so much like our church there in Cedar Park. And of course, John and Brenda, good friends. Orville and Karen, we've known for, I think Orville was still a baby when we met. But sitting beside him is my wife, Peggy. She's been here before. I always like to bring her along. She keeps me straight, or at least attempts to. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 9 this morning. As I was sitting in the pew, I got to thinking of an incident that happened in my life. And I was a youth director, I believe, then. And I had another pastor friend, and him and I drank coffee quite a bit. And he was telling me one day, he said, you know, when I go out of town, I try to call a preacher to fill in that was worse than me, because when I got back, they'd be happy to see me. And I thought, John called me up. He's gone. Lynn took off. And the music guy's golfing. I mean, what does that tell you? Right? But again, we are so glad to be here. I told John I'll try not to split his church. And it's a good thing about retiring when you preach somewhere. People are mad, you go home, right? And I tell our younger preachers, I say, here's what retirement is. You go from pastoring to begging. Begging your friends and enemies to have you come in and preach. And God's been good to us. We have started a ministry called the Bible and the Badge to reach outreach to law enforcement personnel and speaking at different law enforcement services, helping church security and so forth. And we've been busy. So I thank God for that. One of these days I'm going to get old and won't be able to do that. Amen. So you're already old. I know, it's my kids tell me, Dad, you're not getting old. You are already there. I still hit them pretty hard, anyhow. Luke chapter 9, does John have y'all stand for reading? I think he does, so let's do that. I don't want to break his tradition. I'm going to split his church, but I don't want to, you know, cause any other issues for him. Verse 1 of Luke chapter 19, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up to a sycamore tree to see him, for it was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they were all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, or as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Lord, bless now the preaching of your word. Bless the hearers. Speak to our hearts, our Lord, in whatever manner we need. We surrender all unto thee and ask your blessings in Christ's name. Amen. Just a little background from a story no doubt you've heard, even as a youngster, about little Zacchaeus up in the tree. You know, the Roman occupation of Israel was a very difficult time for the Jews. And during that tenure, the Roman taxation, especially in what we would call the Holy Land, was very high, unaffordable, and unreal. Besides that, nobody likes tax collectors. Amen? There is none here. She can shake your head if you want. At least I don't think. But nevertheless, the taxes in Galilee, of course, including where Zacchaeus is, the tax collector was Herod Antipas. And then by him to Rome. So he sold what you might call franchises to the highest bidder. And these franchises became a very lucrative business. The tax collectors had a certain amount that they had to give their boss, like Herod, and whatever they had beyond that, they were able to keep. So they taxed most everything. Poll tax to anyone and everyone, income tax, land tax, grain tax, even taxed the fruit of the vine. There were taxes on transport, goods, letters, produce, using a road, crossing a bridge. Any place they could set up a booth, they would tax the citizenry to whatever they wanted them to pay. A very unorthodox and biblical malady, but yet it was performed predominantly by Jews. And Zacchaeus is a Jew. And so probably among the most hated people in that area were the tax collectors because they robbed for their own people. They were somewhat used to Rome and their attitude, but not so much to the other Jews, except for what the Bible calls here publicans or tax collectors. The behavior of tax collectors made them rich at the expense of poor people. Zacchaeus was a very wealthy tax collector. He wasn't of the norm. He's called a moke, which meant that he didn't have to pay so much to Rome, and that he would hire others to collect taxes, and he himself would. So he got money, crooked money, unclean money from almost everyone in all of Galilee. The name Zacchaeus, in spite of the fact that he was a thief, means to be clean or be innocent, pure or righteous. That was kind of a misnomer, I suppose, from his parents. Jericho, of course, is where he is. That's a very lucrative area. It was called the Eden of Palestine. Traders from all over the world will go through Jerusalem in caverns. And out of that, of course, we can realize all the money these tax collectors made, and they were hated by one and all. For Zacchaeus, wealth was not that satisfying. In fact, I think all of us realize if you shoot for money to be your success venture, you're not going to win. I read one time about a multi-billionaire, and they asked him, if you had needed or wanted one more thing before you died, what would it be? He said, $1 million. I said, go down to Sears and charge it. You'll have $1 million. Wealth and the flesh never satisfies. It always wants more and more and more, which is really the non-benefit of you and I acting in the flesh. For if you walk in the flesh, you'll fulfill the desires of the flesh. Walk in the spirit, desires of the spirit. So occasionally, I hate to say it, but sometimes we as believers aren't walking where we need to walk. Amen? Well, it's hard truths, but those are one of those things we just need to totally understand, is that we're still fallible. I talked about in Sunday school, we're going to face tests and temptations. But because of circumstances and sometimes our faith level or temptation, whatever, is we're not right where we need to be. And I think that's our goal this morning. I don't know where each one is here individually. I know some of y'all, I can't remember names. In fact, I'm not sure what my name is. It's garage sale. So I don't know your spiritual life or your faith life, but God does. And sometimes we just need to go to God and tell him where we're at, like it's going to take him by surprise. But even more than that, I think it's good that God wants us to know where our faith factor is, if you don't mind that expression. And then secondly, do I need to increase? Do I need to build upon that? Obviously we do. Where am I at and where do I need to be? Because we know there's nothing in the world other than Jesus Christ that satisfies. Absolutely nothing. By now, of course, the story had gotten out about Christ, and Zacchaeus had never met him on earth, and the same is true for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible really doesn't give us a reason that Zacchaeus would wanted to see him other than perhaps maybe his reputation. Maybe it just nosy. Maybe it just whatever reason he did the right thing. That thought that he had created the greatest move in all of his life. And it ushered in the greatest event in his life concerning eternity. I'd like to give you four things about Zacchaeus and his story, four simplistic things, and we can make application in, I think, each and every one of these points individually. That's where we need to do. First of all, Zacchaeus learned that Jesus sees me. That's not hard to believe, right? Verse 5 said, Jesus came out the place, he looked up, saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste to come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now, it's interesting because the reason Zacchaeus was up in a tree, because there are so many people, he must have been a shrimp. He probably wasn't a basketball player. But he got up on that tree for a purpose. And Jesus comes along and said, "Hey, Zach." That's a transliteration of the Greek. "Zacchaeus, come on down. For today, I'm eating at your house." Preachers will do that, you know. I always try to see what time our folks eat so I go make a visit. But anyhow. Zacchaeus didn't have to be in that tree for Jesus to see him. He sees us right now. So be careful. Tell that to our church so our kids will get off the cell phones. But I know y'all don't have that problem. Remember a guy named Jonah? You know, I thought about Jonah. I thought when a fish left him, he probably went home and said, "Guys, you ought to see the human I caught." But he got on that ship to go 2,500 miles the opposite way after God had called him. Running from God. You ever hear people running from God? "Can I help you out?" You can't run from God. God's everywhere. If you ever run, you run to God. He was headed in the opposite direction in which God had called him to. And out in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, a little dot in the ocean, God saw Jonas and the hinder part of the ship sleeping. Can you imagine that? Disobeying God in such a way as he did and then sleeping? I can't imagine his lack of conviction, but nevertheless we see in the Word of God, or actually, God prepared a fish. And I tell people, you know, I used to think that that fish was the punishment of God. Now, I'll be honest, I don't want to spend 3 days in a fish. Amen. I don't know that I'd get a crowd to go with me if I did. But did you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that that fish was a fish of grace? How much longer would Jonah have lived had a fish not come along? So it might have been a good school for Zacchaeus, but it's also a life-saving event in his life. Why? Because God sees Jonah, and God, the Lord Jesus Christ, sees Zacchaeus. He said, "Can I help you, ladies and gentlemen?" The same God of the universe sees you and I. Everywhere and any and every time. No one hides from God. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. Zacchaeus certainly didn't need to climb in that tree, but he did. I'm wondering, I would like to think that Zacchaeus climbed that tree to get under conviction, to realize he would be in the presence of a holy God. But I don't think that's what it was. I think he was just nosy. But you know, we put that in the practical part of our life. It doesn't matter where we are. Doesn't matter what we're doing. Thinking. God sees us. Pastored a church in New Mexico a long time ago. And we had a Christian school there. And one of our teenagers went to a nightclub. And she lived with a grandmother. Grandmother told me about it. And so not only was she underage, but she's supposed to be a Christian. How many of y'all know that Christians aren't supposed to go to beer joints? And that's half. The rest of y'all, see you later, you know. Orville and I will be there after a bit. Crazy. But I told her, I said, you know, God's got a forgiveness. And, you know, she admitted I was wrong, I was dumb. And I said, "Do you mind if I use that for an example in service tomorrow?" She said, "No, okay." I wouldn't mention her by name. But in the service I was preaching, I said, and one of our members went to a beer joint the other night. And the person was so convicted. But that person told me, this is a place where Christians don't belong. The next day I was getting gas in my car. And a church member pulled up and said, "It's a different person. This is an adult lady. I was a teenager." She said, "Oh, Brother Brent, I didn't know you knew." I say, "What didn't I know? Or what did I know?" She said, "I didn't know that you knew I went to that beer joint the other night." And I said, "I didn't till now." Be sure your sins will find you out. Amen. You never sin in secret, ladies and gentlemen. Never. Doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, time of day, light or darkness, even in church. Christ sees you. First thing Zacchaeus learned very quickly is our Lord sees him. Then secondly, he knows us. He said Zacchaeus. They never met on the earth personally, but Christ knew his name. He knows everything about him. He knows us, our names, and everything about you and I. I can imagine the shock on Zacchaeus, can't you? And a loud voice, Zacchaeus, come on down, because I'm supposed to get your house today. With all the rumors he'd heard about this man called Jesus of Nazareth, that had to come to a shock to him. Like, how did he know my name? How does he know where my house is? Well, he'll find out in a little while. He is God. Praise the Lord. He is God. Can I help you out, ladies and gentlemen? He's still God. I'm thinking that Zacchaeus had to be in some kind of shock now. His mind had never been focused on Christ, if at all on God. I suppose that his crooked, deceitful friends would be making fun of him because of this guy called Jesus. And you know, the world is making fun of believers today. I think they always have, but I think it's getting really prominent in our society today. Read the news, I think one of America's downfalls is 24-hour news and MSNBC. Now, anyhow, there was a military chaplain that got to get demoted because he wouldn't marry two homosexuals. There was a school bus driver fired yesterday because he prayed on the bus. Y'all know of Sutherland, Texas. And I counseled two of the Texas Rangers that were part of the group that was investigating that particular case. And I want you to know that when those people were on the floor, as this guy came in shooting 300 rounds, they were praying. And rightfully so. Tell people that prayer will never be out of school as long as there's algebra. And all of the secular reasonings they're trying to promote to end school shootings, nothing concerning Christ is mentioned. I was a cop when people weren't allowed to have guns. I arrested a lot of people with guns. Went to several murders. People shot somebody. I don't think taking away guns is going to help a whole lot. I can tell you what helps a whole lot when we see Jesus. He knows me. You know, there's no reason to be shy about coming to Christ. You already know. He knows the number of hairs on your head. I know you're thinking right now, he's just subtracting from me, but I taught for a week over last week at Indian Reservation in Ringgold, Oklahoma, and there was an Indian in the group, and he had really long hair and stuff. He was really upset that he couldn't scalp me. I said, I've got some deacons. No, I didn't say that. Good deacons. If he can note when a sparrow falls, he can know us. After 42 years in ministry, sure, blessed years, it seemed like the churches I pastor, there seemed one consistency. Let me say this. I realize we don't have to go to an altar to pray, but what seemed to me is people have been a Christian the longest time never go to the altar. I pastored my last church for 19 years. Kelsey's there now. And there's still people that I know from the first I was there that never came to an altar. And like I said, I know you don't have to. I think it's a special place in a church to meet with God. But I think what happens when we get saved, we get saved from all those big sins, you know. Bank robbery, burglary, murder, dipping snuff. The guys get on that one too, but But you know, the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. We're cognizant of the big things. We could be pharisaical and say, thank you, God, I'm not like that dude. That's a new version, dude. But those little things don't seem to penetrate. Like getting angry when we shouldn't be angry, or somebody we should have helped or loved, or our praying is limited, maybe our Bible study, maybe, I don't know. I think there's times in our life where we need to really dig deep and see where we're at with Christ and what keeps us maybe from being further, whether it's our own selfishness, time consumption, sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sin comes on commission and omission. And I think there's times in our life where we really, really have to dig down deep, then come to Christ. We come to Christ at an altar and we confess our sins. God's not up in heaven saying, whoa, I didn't know that. I think there's still joy in the midst of heaven when somebody repents of any sin. I realize that context pretty much is salvation, but any sin. Why? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can I help you out? That's written to the church. Written to the redeemed. There's no need to be shy. There's no need to be embarrassed. I tell people, don't ever be embarrassed. Don't ever think negative. Anybody comes to an altar, that's a place of victory. Zacchaeus was probably the biggest self-centered crook in all of the city. And Christ took time out just to save him. Isn't that a great God? He wants everybody to know that Christ sees them, He knows them, He'll save them and so forth. He knows everything about them, every sin, every thought, every attitude, every behavior, every lie, every cuss word, any immoral thought. And the biggest crook in town that everybody knew, Jesus, the very Son of God, said, Zacchaeus, come on down. I know you, I see you, and I'm going to your house today. If the Lord called you up right now and said, I'm going to be at your house this afternoon, what would change? Other than the kids making their bed. Or mom and dad. But what would change about you? Preacher went to a house one day to visit. His family had been visiting, and he came in and was talking to the dad and about spiritual things. And dad said to the daughter, sweetheart, bring me that book we so love. She brought the Sears catalog. He knows me, he sees me, and he loves me. He loves me. I'm just glad that God loves you. We come to God, it's just like, hey, look what you got. It's not who we've got. He was a sinner above all sinners. He knew nothing about the Son of God. Paul said, I am the chief of sinners. In reality, if Paul were alive today before he was converted, we would hate his guts. Christ loved him. We'd probably hate Zacchaeus. Or at least not love him. See, Christ loves me in spite of me. I don't know what went on between verse 6 and verse 7, but something got the heart of Zacchaeus, and it had to have been the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, seven churches in Asia Minor, Christ said this, I believe, to all seven. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Lest there's a deformed verse, everybody has an ear or two. Some don't work. I had an hearing exam not so long ago, and I studied all night for it. And I walked in, and the lady said, are you having trouble hearing? I said, that's what my wife said. And she said, I hear that all day long. All those guys married to my wife? Christ loves us in spite of us. Zacchaeus went to work that morning wanting to make more money. After he went home, before he returned the following day, he wanted to give away his money. You say, why is that? Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Thank God for that song, and thank God I didn't sing it. Somewhere in this scenario, his heart was broken by the Son of God. You know, Jesus, as Zacchaeus learned that Jesus sees him, knows him, loves him, and saves him. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, verse 8, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If you have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a result of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There it is, the fruit of a repentant heart. Zacchaeus went from a sinner to a saint, from a thief to a testimony, from a self-centered man to a giver, from a hell-bound sinner to a heaven-bound convert, from a selfish man to a sacrificial man, from a thief to a testimony of grace. He didn't earn it. He didn't pay for it. God gave it. Aren't you glad that God is rich in mercy and grace? In fact, in Micah, the Bible says, what does the Lord require of thee? Love mercy. So then we'll do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with me. Wow. I almost get goosebumps thinking about that verse. Do justly, that just simply means to do what Christians ought to do. Can I help you out? Everybody out in the world knows what you and I ought to be doing. Love mercy? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Not just acknowledging, but loving mercy. Where would we all be today if it weren't for God's mercy? He didn't have to show it. It was his choice. Christ commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then walk humbly with the Lord. That's almost a tearjerker there. See, the Bible doesn't say walk behind the Lord. Oh, that would be a right thing. Certainly not walk ahead. Not walk away from, but to walk with the Lord. That's a commandment. That's a mandate, so it's a possibility. To walk humbly, why is that? Because God resists the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Walk humbly with the Lord. Ooh, I love it. I never go anywhere without Christ. Every time he cheated a friend or foe, Christ knew. There was nothing good that anybody in town would say about Zacchaeus. He was not a trophy that our Savior needed. He was a thief that needed a Savior. He couldn't buy it. He was a thief. Christ knew him. Every disobedient thing that Zacchaeus had done, every selfish intent of his heart, he didn't love Christ. Christ loved him. He was a Jew. The Old Testament says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, in the Shema. And he didn't. But God took time out of the whole universe to save a tax collector. You know, our past doesn't matter to God. It's today and for eternity that matters to God. God said to Paul one day, and Paul had been praying to take away a thorn in the flesh, and Christ said, you know what, Paul, I want you to know this. My grace is enough. My grace is sufficient.
God's grace is sufficient for everything in our life. Can I help you out this morning? And you already know that God sees us, God knows us, God loves us, and God saves us. The question that we probably ought to ask ourselves in light of this is, how much do I really love God? Am I like Zacchaeus? And I'm sure you're not the criminal that Zacchaeus was, but maybe you've not been saved yet. Jesus himself said, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already." If you don't have what Zacchaeus has, you need it. Maybe search your heart and soul and say, "You know, Lord, there's some areas in my life that need to shore up." Just bring it to him. He's willing and eager to hear our prayers. The sweetest smell in all of Jerusalem was from the altar of incense. When it was being burnt, it went up 24 stairs in the temple and out through the city of Jerusalem. It was so sweet and sweet smelling that women didn't even wear perfume that day, as it was so beautiful. See, the altar of incense is symbolic of prayer. And you know, everything that Christ did, raised the dead, healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and voice to the mute, the cripple ran. Never one time did the disciples say, "Lord, teach us how to do that. That is really cool." When they heard him pray, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Above, Father, in your presence, we thank you for the word of God, the will of God. Thank you for the grace of God. Thank you for each one here today. We know your word never returns void, and the things that I say mean absolutely nothing. But that which you say is so vitally, vitally important. Speak to our hearts today, Father. Is there one or two or ten among us that knows not Christ? Maybe some wanting to unite with a good Bible preaching church. Maybe some that might say, "You know, Lord, there's some areas of my life I need to shore up. There's some, maybe I have some sin I need to confess." You know, now's the time. Never be afraid to meet with Christ. Let's us open our hearts, each one, this morning. Then do as God asks us to do for his honor in his glory, because we pray and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand, please, with me this morning? You know what the invitation is for. Listen, if you're not saved, you ought to come. Like to join a church, just come and pray. No reason ever be embarrassed. This is a place of victory. I hope you'll come.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have the opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. If you desire further information about the hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ, please visit our website at cbcponca.org.